Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this morning is the Eisenach Epistle Selection, appointed for the Feast of Our Lord's Epiphany, as we find this recorded in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, reading from verse 3 through verse 6, as follows. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinful men, dearly beloved hearers of His precious Word. The Christian Church traditionally marks the Epiphany of our Lord on January 6th, the day on which we celebrate His manifestation to the wise men from the East, as we heard of that in the gospel lesson read before. For that reason, the feast of our Savior's Epiphany has been called the Gentiles' Christmas, as His light appeared to those Eastern sages from a far-off Eastern land, heathen land, and brought them to worship at our Savior's feet. We who are Gentiles or non-Jews especially treasure this festival of the church year because of its particular comfort to us whose ancestors were, in the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Yet, as we heard in the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah in the 60th chapter, the epistle lesson read before, the promised Messiah was intended from the beginning already to be not only the Redeemer of Israel, but, as the aged Simeon sang of him, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the Savior of the whole world. And for that unspeakable Christmas gift to us poor Gentiles, out of love to us who were aliens from God's people of old and strangers from the covenant of His gospel, we are and certainly ought to be ever truly thankful. As we today celebrate a bit early, since Epiphany Day falls in the middle of the week, as we celebrate the Epiphany or manifestation of our Lord, the epistle text before us today is of particular significance to us Gentiles, to whom the light of salvation has been manifested. For this epistle was written originally to Gentiles. It was written to the Corinthians in ancient Greece, who were brought to the knowledge of the truth of salvation by the preaching of the Apostle Paul and his co-workers on their missionary journeys. And as did the apostle in those early days of the New Testament church, so also today, in these latter times, as privileged proclaimers of the Savior's gospel, we preach the great Epiphany light, Christ Jesus the Lord, whose radiance is manifested in his glorious gospel proclaimed to all mankind, and whose radiance is manifested particularly in our hearts by God himself through that very same preaching. We know, first of all, what the substance of all truly Christian preaching is. Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Unlike the vain prattle of secular politicians who toot their own horn in order to gather for themselves a following and to secure for themselves the vote of their constituents, yea, unlike the good words and fair speeches of spiritual politicians who do the very same thing and for the very same reason, namely, to draw away disciples after them, the message of faithful Christian preachers or pastors, according to the example of the Apostle Paul, is the preaching not of themselves, not their personal views, not their subjective opinions, and not their not-so-hidden agendas, but Christian pastors preach Christ Jesus the Lord, Paul says. Now those four words might not seem to be much of a message in and of themselves to the casual listener, but those divine names, Christ, Jesus, the Lord, tell the whole story of God's mercy and grace to poor sinners and the way to everlasting life in heaven. Christ is, after all, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, as we read of him in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 15. Christ means the anointed one, the hand-picked, selected one of God himself, decreed in eternity to be the Redeemer of sinful men. The word Christ in Hebrew is Mashiach, or Messiah, promised from the beginning already, promised to Adam and Eve to destroy Satan's power and to reconcile wretched sinners to God by propitiating or paying for, satisfying his exacting justice. Jesus, whose very name specified by the angel Gabriel before he was conceived in the womb, was ordained for him, chosen for him, who should save his people from their sins. He took all men's place under the law to render for them perfect obedience of God's demands and to suffer the punishment of their guilt in their stead, thus enabling God, without compromising his justice, to reconcile the whole world of sinners unto himself, not imputing, not charging their trespasses unto them. 2 Corinthians 5:19. The Lord is not a mere man. The Lord is not even a great prophet, but Jehovah, the eternal I Am, who appeared unto Moses in the burning bush in the wilderness of Sinai, as we read in Exodus chapter 3. He manifested himself even then as the Savior of his people. This is his name whereby he shall be called. The prophet Jeremiah writes concerning this Redeemer and Savior, this is his name, the Lord, Jehovah, our righteousness. The one who earned righteousness for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Paul says he is the image of God. This is the one whom we preach. This is the message that we proclaim of him. This is the light to poor, benighted souls that God himself desires all men to be saved and to come unto his knowledge, so that they know, accept, and confide in him as their anointed one, as their Savior, and as their Lord. That's what gospel preaching is all about. And the preachers themselves, Paul says, only your servants for Jesus' sake, whose duty, yea, whose high privilege it is to bring you this gospel, this good news of salvation, as a service to you for Jesus' sake. Because your Savior earnestly desires you to come to faith in him by means of his gospel preached in your ears, and thus desires you to be saved eternally. Your pastor is no more in this scenario than a common servant, Paul says. A messenger boy, a delivery boy, a torch bearer on a dark road, an ambassador for Christ who begs you in Christ's stead, just as if Christ himself were begging you, be ye reconciled to God by accepting and confiding in this precious word of reconciliation, this wonderful good news of the gospel. Sadly, that message of Christ's Epiphany light, the message of Christ Jesus the Lord, does not illuminate everybody, even though God expressly wants it to. Paul says it is hid, not by any act of God, not by any lack of sincere desire on God's part that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, because we know that from the Holy Scriptures. Not because he excluded anybody from his grace, as the Calvinists teach, but it is hid to them that are lost. Lost by their own rejection of the glorious light of the gospel, so that now they continue to grope about in self-imposed darkness, in the darkness of unbelief, in the darkness of spiritual ignorance and despair. What a tragedy indeed, thus to be lost, to be a spiritual loser in whom, Paul says in our text, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They put out their own spiritual eyes by placing their fear, love, and trust in what Paul calls the God of this world. And we know what that is. The material things of life. The things which people regard to be indispensable, absolutely critical to their happiness and well-being, so that they will do practically anything to get them and to hold on to them throughout their whole life, as if everything, not only in this life, but perhaps even in the life to come, depends on how much of the stuff of this world they can amass. They fear, love, and trust in the pleasures and treasures of this life. And therefore, they despise the grace of God that bringeth salvation, which hath appeared to all men. They don't need it. They're fine just the way they are, they think. They don't need to be saved because they're not lost. They're in no need of rescue because they're not out there as people who have no tether, no foundation. There's a serious warning in these words of the Apostle Paul, a warning even to us who have heard the gospel preached in its truth and purity. We who have God's servant ministering to us for Jesus' sake, but who nevertheless are tempted to follow the God of this world into blindness by despising preaching and the Word of God. Despise in that sense doesn't mean hate. It means to think little of. Despising the Word of God, that is, deliberately setting it aside on the back burner of our lives, as it were, to simmer on a barely flickering flame. You and I, too, are tempted by the God of materialism to put money and possessions and friends, and fun, and everything else under the sun, ahead of the gospel and the hearing of its faithful preaching. And if we give in to that temptation, we should not be surprised if one day we who are presently sighted by God's grace to see in this gospel the light of salvation, that we suddenly become blind. We should not be surprised if we, who by God's grace are foundlings, having been rescued by God from our lost estate, suddenly become lost again. If we don't treasure and heed the preaching of God's precious gospel, which brings light to our souls, we shouldn't be surprised if that light is suddenly hid from our eyes, as it was to the people in Jerusalem, of which we read in Luke 19:42. May God graciously preserve us from such a tragic fate for Jesus' sake. For here yet in our text, the Apostle Paul described how blessed you and I are, even now, because of the preaching of Christ Jesus the Lord, here in the place where His honor dwelleth. The work of creation is taking place here, even as I preach this precious gospel into your ears, the glorious gospel of Christ. Because that glorious gospel of Christ is the means or vehicle whereby God Himself creates faith in the hearts of men. Even as He created physical light on the first day of creation by His word, by His powerful word. Paul says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, the glorious, brilliant, radiant gospel of Christ is the means whereby the Holy Spirit of God, who created all things in the beginning out of nothing by His almighty word, offers you and me the blessings of Christ's redemptive work. Forgiveness of sins, life, and everlasting salvation, and works in our hearts the faith that is the confidence by which we accept those blessings and make them our own. St. Paul writes to the Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again to the Thessalonians, He called you by our gospel. The Holy Ghost does not just sail into town, as it were, as the enthusiasts teach, and light upon you out of a clear blue sky, so that all of a sudden you become to come quivering and quaking in faith to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost works through the word spoken unto you, the Bible says. In this precious text before us this morning, the apostle likens the miracle of conversion, the miracle of enlightenment, to the creation of light in the chaos of darkness in the beginning. It was God's word that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Paul says. For as Moses recorded those words by inspiration of God in the first chapter of Genesis, God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's how powerful His word is. And here in our text, Paul says that just as God created His light in the beginning by His almighty word, so by the word of His powerful gospel, which we preach, the gospel of Christ Jesus the Lord, the power of God unto salvation, God hath shined in our hearts to give the knowledge of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. By means of the gospel, God the Holy Ghost gave to you and to me the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ Jesus, our Savior. So that now we trust and believe. So that now we rejoice and take comfort in Him. What a glorious epiphany or manifestation of our Savior. The light of faith that receives salvation has been beamed into your hearts by the Holy Spirit through the gospel preached to you, through the gospel proclaimed to you by human tongues, who serve not themselves, but who serve you for Jesus' sake. You see, brethren, the office of preaching is an office of God's own design, who made fools of the wise guys of this world by entrusting His saving gospel to Christian pastors as clay pots or vessels, as stewards of His mysteries, servants who in the eyes of the world are purveyors of spiritual garbage, foolishness, myths, and fables. And even in the estimation of many professing Christians, are objects of derision and despisal, of mockery and complaint. Yet the Apostle Paul writes in his first letter to these Corinthian Christians, it pleased God, this was His plan all along, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God knows full well how the preaching of the gospel strikes the human ear. How the preaching of the gospel strikes the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, so that they regard it as foolishness and nonsense. But thus Luther rightly summarizes the meaning of God's holy third commandment, which sets before you and me our obligation over against the Word of God, saying we should fear and love God that we may not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Why? Oh, because in that word preached to us from this very pulpit, our precious Savior is manifested or made known to us. Christ Jesus the Lord, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. God grant to each and every one of us the continual epiphany of His Son into our hearts by the hearing of His precious gospel. Until by faith we enter into the supreme and perfect light of His eternal home in heaven, which He tells us is prepared, has been prepared for us from the foundation of the world already. Amen. and that peace of God which passeth all human understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus the Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.